As Paul already mentioned, we appreciate the visitors with us this morning. We're glad that you're here, and it's good to be able to spend some time now in front of a holy God that we have just sung about, to worship Him, to spend some time in His holy word. And as we're going to study this morning from 1 Peter and then going back into the Old Testament, how that we can be holy as God is holy. We sang earlier this morning the song, Looking to Thee. In the chorus we sang, I am as happy as a true soldier can be. Now when you sang that, did you mean that? Is that true? Are you as happy as a true soldier can be? Are you happy today? Am I happy? With everything going on in your life right now, are you happy? Tonight, I'm going to talk about something that we don't normally talk about, but I believe we need to talk about it. We're going to talk about enjoying life. Are you enjoying life right now? There's a lot of sadness out there. There's a lot of people that are sad and depressed and lonely. God wants us to enjoy life. And we're going to look at that tonight from the book of Ecclesiastes. We don't talk about that much. We don't ask people, are you happy? Are you enjoying life? We kind of maybe assume that when internally they're really struggling with this or that. We need to enjoy life. So we sang, I'm as happy as a true soldier can be. We need to make sure that that really is the case in our life. And we're going to learn some things tonight from Solomon, where our mind, our mental state, our emotions and our mind is in a state of enjoyment. It's very important. And I hope that you'll come back for that. In our study of 1 Peter, Jeff and Phil have been taking us through 1 Peter in the adult Bible class, a very well-known passage of scripture here in chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. These Christians are suffering. They're being persecuted. 1 Peter talks a lot about suffering. And in the midst of that suffering, they still need to live right. And if you look at verses 13 through 17 in your Bible this morning, you're going to find four things that Peter says that they need to be doing. This is not the only four things. It's just the four things in this section, 13 through 17. Number one, he says you need to be sober-minded. Your mind, your thinking, your thoughts, your emotions need to be clear, according to God's word, clear thinking, where your hope is set on the return of Jesus Christ. So number one, you've got to have clear thinking. Number two, you've got to be obedient. He talks about as children of obedience. You need to obey God's word. You need to be obeying every day. Number three, he says you need to be holy as I am holy. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning, holiness and what that means. And then number four, he says you need to be passing the time of your sojourning with fear. That is respect and reverence for God. Sober-mindedness, obedience, holiness, and fear. That's how we're to be living each and every day. And in verse 15 and 16, Peter quotes a passage from the book of Leviticus. So that's where we're going to spend our time this morning. After a few introductory remarks here involving Peter, we're going to go back to the book of Leviticus where this statement comes from. And we're going to see the original statement of this. And that it's good for us. And maybe in our setting today, we're not used to that. But I'd like for us as a congregation, in our personal Bible reading at home and in our Bible classes, and if you're following along in a sermon, always, always make the practice that when a New Testament writer quotes an Old Testament passage, if you have time, if not right there immediately, when you go home later, go back and look at that setting. It's very important. And in the first century, when these Christians of the dispersion are hearing this letter being read to them from Peter, they're going to know that setting, especially the Jewish Christians. They're immediately going to think of Leviticus and those early Christians who knew their Old Testament, just like we need to know our Bible. We need to be biblically literate, not biblically illiterate. We need to know our Bible. And those Christians who knew their Bible, they knew what that book of Leviticus was about, and they knew where this statement came from, and even better yet, as we're going to see this morning, they knew the surrounding context of those statements. And by knowing that, when they hear, be holy, when they hear that, they would have been thinking a bigger picture probably of holiness than maybe we do. So this morning, we're going to go back to the book of Leviticus, and we're going to see where this statement came from. We're going to see that bigger picture, and we're going to flesh out this morning our concept of holiness. And the reason why that's important is this. Growing up, I had a concept of holiness. Maybe you have had a concept. When somebody says, you need to be holy, you're immediately thinking such and such. And that's good. But this morning, we're going to broaden that, and you're going to be thinking by the end of this lesson, wow, holiness includes a lot more than maybe what I thought about. For example, when we think holiness, we think we're not going to say any bad words. That's good. That's a good one. Or holiness means we're not going to engage in any kind of sexual sin. Okay? That's good. That's right. That would be true. Or holiness means that I'm going to come worship God in the assembly at the church building. That would be good. That's right. But we're going to see this morning that being holy is much more than what we might think. I've got to watch my language. I've got to watch my sexual purity. We might think that holiness, for example, involves how we dress. We need to dress modestly. Well, they would include that. But when you go back to the book of Leviticus, which these early Christians, knowing their Old Testament, they would have immediately thought, oh, when Peter said, be holy, he's got some other things in mind. And we're going to see what those things are this morning. And some of them might surprise us. So this morning, let's look at what it means in its original setting to be holy like God is holy. We'll get to that in a minute. But before we leave 1 Peter, notice a couple of just general lessons here at the beginning. Notice number one that Peter says, you shall be holy. Holiness, as we know it means separation from sin. But first of all, we need to remember that it is possible to be holy. We sang about a holy God, but we're supposed to be like Him in this way. We can be separate from sin. Sin does not have to be in our life each and every day. Not only is it possible, it is necessary. This is a command. It's a condition of being a faithful Christian. Number two, Peter says that God is the standard. Peter says, as I am holy. He doesn't say, be holy as you view holiness in your own mind. We're not the standard. The world's not the standard. God is the standard. And somebody says, well, wow, that bar is awfully high. But God does not ask of us what we cannot do so that we can be holy as God is holy. He sets the standard, not the world around us. And His immaculate character is what we're to model in our lives. So when we say, well, I'm godly. Are you godly? I ask you, or you ask me. Sure, I'm godly. Godly. Okay. We need to have that godlike character. But then Peter also says something else. He says, underscore this in your Bible, in all manner of living. And we're going to focus in on this a lot when we get back to the book of Leviticus in a minute. In all manner of living. Some people have the idea that holiness, that's a church building thing. That's what you do in the church building. Well, it is.
But it's at school, and it's at work, and it's in your house, and it's in your neighborhood, and when you're on your phone and looking at the computer and a host of other things. In fact, we're going to see this morning by going back to the book of Leviticus that it includes some things maybe that we didn't think about. It's in all manner. So it's not just the words that I use. Well, I don't use cuss words, so I'm holy. Well, that's good. I don't dress immodestly, or I don't go to bars and dance and drink and stuff like that. I'm holy. That's good, but we're going to see this morning that it's a lot more than that. And it would be what God would want us to be. And then Peter says, this is very important. This is not a suggestion. This is not a Peter's opinion. He says, because it is written, holiness is a mandate from God. Underscore that in your Bible. Because it is written. Somebody says, well, why do I have to do that? Because it is written. Underscore that in your Bible. Sometimes as parents, we tell our children to do so. Well, why? Because I said so. It's the same thing. Well, why? Because it is written. And when God says something and writes it down, and we're going to see in the book of Leviticus that he did that more than once, it's a mandate. And so let us be busy doing that. So having laid that groundwork, it is possible and necessary to be holy. Number two, God is the standard. Number three, it's in every aspect of our life. And number four, it's a mandate because it is written. Let's turn back now in our Bibles to the book of Leviticus, a book that, if you are like me when I was younger, boy, you skip over that one. Boy, you know, Genesis has those great stories in it, you know, about Abraham and Noah and the ark and all that cool stuff. And Exodus, that's kind of neat because you got the Exodus and the 10 plagues and all of that. So Genesis and Exodus, that's good. But Leviticus, I don't know about that. There's a bunch of rules in there about sacrifices and stuff. Let's skip over that one, except maybe the Nadab and Abihu. That makes a good sermon. But skip over the book of Leviticus and get into Numbers maybe or on somewhere on down the road. So Leviticus may not be familiar, but it holds a host of lessons. So turn with me to Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44. We're going to see the five places in the book of Leviticus where this quotation comes from. Now, as you're turning over there, you might remember that the book of Leviticus comes in between the end of Exodus and the beginning of the book of Numbers. If you look at the last chapter of the book of Exodus, when the tabernacle is finished, it says that it was finished in the first month of the second year. They had been at Mount Sinai about a year, from coming out of Egypt. If you turn over to Numbers chapter 1 and verse 1, it says that they're now in the second month of the second year. So what happened with that first month of the second year? Well, that would be the book of Leviticus. Leviticus takes place about a month. And during that month, Moses is giving the children of Israel laws. And many of them are so foreign to us that, like I said earlier, it might be a book that we just kind of skip over. But if you take the time to look at the book of Leviticus, God, through Moses, is saying two things that are very important. Number one, I'm going to tell you how to have the way to God. The way to God. Here's the way to God by getting sin out of your life. You can bring sacrifices. And so there's all these laws about the priests and the Levites and the sacrifices. What's it all about? It's about how that I can have a way to come to God and have fellowship with Him when I offer up sacrifices for my sin. But that's the early part of the book. But once you get over into the part of the book where we're at today, 11 on to the end of the book, it is your walk with God. Once you learn how to come to God and the way to God through sacrifice, then here is your daily walk with God. Here is how you're supposed to live
on a daily basis. That, in a nutshell, is the book of Leviticus. And it's in this book that Peter takes this quote. And the first one is in chapter 11 in verse 44. So let's learn this morning, what does it mean to be holy? Let's broaden our understanding of holiness to at least include what it was originally in that setting. And look at chapter 11 in verse 44. For I am Jehovah your God, sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that moves upon the earth. That's the first of five times that this passage is going to be found in the book of Leviticus. And the first one is in a context of teaching the Israelites what animals they can eat and what animals they cannot eat. That's the original setting of that. And so what that teaches us is that holiness is required, number one, because God has a sovereign claim over us. Look at this. Verse 44, I am Jehovah your God. And I've made the references this morning to 1 Peter just to keep us connected with 1 Peter. God has a sovereign claim over us. He has made us. He has revealed His will to us. He has saved us. And so Peter describes Him as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who with His great mercy begat us again unto a living hope. God has a sovereign claim over us. And number two, we are required to be clean. There's all of these animals that were considered unclean, and I don't have time this morning to talk about all of the ins and outs of that, but one of the major things was God, with regard to some of these unclean things, was keeping them away from animals that would hurt them. Some of these animals, reptiles and things like that, they might carry disease or they might carry things that would hurt the Israelite. And there's other reasons as well. But stay away from that. The original setting was make a distinction between what is clean and unclean. And so when you read verses 46 and 47, look at 47, make a distinction between the clean and the unclean. Number one, holiness from this first passage is not everything in the world is the same. There are unclean, sinful things. Stay away from that. Today the devil makes it, well, just anything in the world is fine. Just all language is fine and all dress is fine and all thoughts are fine. No, make a distinction. So underscore in your Bible that word distinction. Make a difference. Holiness is when I get up each day and I'm going to be different from the unclean things of the world. And we have been cleansed from our sins, 2 Peter 1:9. And we don't need to forget the cleansing of our sins. We've got to stay separate from the world. That's what it means to be holy. Well, let's look at the second place where this passage is mentioned in the book of Leviticus, and it's in the very next verse. Now, look at this. This is so important that God repeats it, not just one place and then, you know, a long ways away, in the very next verse. The Israelite could raise his hand, well, Moses, didn't you just tell us that one verse before? I'm going to tell you again. Be holy, for I am holy. But he adds something that helps us to understand what holiness is. Look at verse 45. I am Jehovah thy God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Holiness is required because we've been ransomed from bondage. I just brought you up out of Egypt about a year ago. We've been at this mount and I've saved you. And I want you to stay separate and apart from the world. And it's the same for us today, brethren. When we're trying to answer the question, when I get up each day, why do I have to be holy? Because of what we just did around the Lord's table. Jesus died on the cross. Jeff mentioned Matthew 1. He came to save His people from their sins. God with us.
Emmanuel and Jesus. What's all that about? To ransom us. To deliver us from this present evil world. Galatians 1, 4. Paul uses the word redeem and the word ransom. And look at 1 Peter 1:18. We've been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. That's why each and every day we have to live holy lives. I brought you up out of the land of Egypt, and it would be like Peter saying, I brought you up out of the bondage of sin. Live a holy life. Holiness is required, number one, because we have to make a distinction between what is clean and unclean. Not everything's the same in life. And number two, we have to be holy because God has saved us from our sins. And He wants to have a blessed relationship with us. Now, turn with me to the third place where this passage is used. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2. Here, brethren, is where we're going to get into a picture of holiness that might surprise you a little bit. And I'm pretty certain it will do to you what it did to me in going through this material again. My first thought was, well, you know, holiness is a lot broader than maybe what I thought. Let's look at it. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1. There's a lot being accomplished here in 1 month. Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, Jehovah, your God, am holy. Now, before we look at some of the particulars of this, if you make notes in your Bible, about 14 times in this chapter, the words, I am Jehovah, are repeated over and over again. Verse 4 at the end, I am Jehovah. Verse 10, verse 11. Verse 13, verse 16, verse 18. Just underscore all of them. Why does God have to say that over and over again? Why didn't He just say it at the very beginning? Holiness is required because of who God is. He immediately and constantly repeats, I am Jehovah. This is the word Yahweh. This is the word I am that I am. It's the same basic root found in Exodus 3. I talked about that this morning on the radio program. God and the burning bush. I am that I am. It speaks to God's eternal nature. I am Jehovah. In your versions, it'll say Lord, your God. It's because of who God is. That's why in our lesson this morning, in 1 Peter 2:17, we are to fear God. Honor the king, love the brotherhood, fear God. Honor all men. We get up each and every day and we want to live holy lives because who this is who is above us, He's not just some being up in heaven that, yeah, live any way you want, whatever. God we serve is a great and awesome God, and because of His character, He demands holiness in us. And then start with me looking at verse 3. This is very important. Notice that He says in verse 2, be holy as I am holy, and then immediately in verse 3, and we're going to go down through this chapter, various aspects of our life in which holiness is required. And you're going to see that it's required in the home and with our neighbors and when we go to work and in our religion and how we get along with others. Holiness is not just I have to have a clean tongue and stay away from alcohol and don't view, you know, dirty images on the internet. It is that. But it is so much more. Let's see what that is. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. What is holiness according to chapter 19? Well, you shall fear every man his mother and his father. Wait a minute. I never connected holiness with how I treat my parents. That's not holiness. Yes, it is. How you treat your parents. And we have some who are caring for elderly parents. How you respect them. You shall fear every man his mother and his father. That's at the top of the list in a chapter on be holy. Holiness is a part of how we treat our parents. Look at verse 4. We've got to stay away from idols.
Look at verses 5 through 8, how we bring our sacrifices to God. Look at verses 9 and 10, the poor. The specific law here talks about gleaning, and somebody says, well, there's no gleaning law in the New Testament, and that's right. That's correct. But there's all kinds of poor passages in the New Testament. Galatians 2:10, remember the poor. Oh, you mean holiness is connected with a poor person and whether or not I just walk right by them or help them in some way? Yeah. Well, I hadn't thought about that. You see, when these Christians of 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 heard, be holy as I am holy, and they knew the book of Leviticus, they're thinking chapter 19. Holiness means, look at verse 11, I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to swear falsely. Look at verse 13. I'm not going to oppress people. I'm not going to disrespect people. Look at verse 14. Young people, you listen. Today we live in a world of disrespect. There are young people, there are old people who do it too, but there are young people who say and do things that are disrespectful to others in authority, disrespectful to those who are older. Look at verse 14. Do not curse the deaf. He can't hear me, so I'm just going to cuss him out. He can't hear me. That's disrespect. And then look at the rest of the verse. Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. He's a blind guy. Let's go put a rock in front of him. Ha ha ha, he fell over. Don't do that. Why? Because you're to be holy. You see, holiness, brethren, is much broader than maybe what we thought. And that's the point of our lesson today. It was good for me to go back and be reminded of these things. Look at verse 15. Don't be unjust with people. Don't be a talebearer or a gossiper. Verse 16, you shall not go up and down as a talebearer. Now look, I don't fornicate, and I don't drink, and I don't look at bad images online. And I always go to church. Now, from time to time, I do gossip about brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. Okay. You see, it's much broader than what we might think. Look at the latter part of verse 16. This can be taken one of two ways, and the translations bear it out. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. That can be taken. I'm not going to actively hurt my neighbor. I'm not going to cause them to be hurt in some way. It can be taken that way. Or it can be taken, I'm not going to stand by and let them be hurt. Either way, I care about my neighbor. I'm not going to hurt them, or I'm not going to stand by and watch them get hurt. That's a part of being holy. Look at verse 17. I'm not going to hate my brother. Look at verse 17. We might not think about this. Look at this. Thou shalt surely rebuke thy neighbor and not bear sin because of him. Maybe we've not thought about this before. You're not allowed, in order to be holy, you're not allowed to stand by and let your neighbor sin and not say anything about it. Jeff talked about that this morning in class, and a few others were talking about how that we've got to speak out against things that are wrong. I think Linda Matthews said something about that. Look at that verse. To be holy, when there is sin around us, we've got to rebuke that. We don't have an option. Well, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Holiness demands that we say something. As you have an opportunity, maybe this afternoon, go down through this chapter again. It's amazing. All the things that are necessary in order to be holy. And with the few exception of like gleaning and things like that, the majority of it is repeated in the New Testament. All of these things we could have New Testament verses for. Verse 18. Don't engage in vengeance and love your neighbor as yourself. Here's another one. Verse 19. We don't have any New Testament laws that say don't mix animals and don't mix garments and things like that. We don't have that in the law of Christ. But there's a general principle in the New Testament about not mixing ourselves with things that are sinful and wrong. So the application would be there. Fornication, verse 20. Not eating blood, that's Acts 15, that's repeated. Don't engage in occult practices, harlotry. Remember the Sabbath day today, it's the first day of the week. Don't engage in witchcraft. Respect the elderly. Look at this. Look at verse 32. Have we ever connected holiness with something like this? Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. Thou shalt fear thy God. Oh, I thought holiness just had to do with how I talk and dress. No, it's so broad, brethren. And I'm to love strangers and treat them properly. I'm not to engage in any kind of injustice, and I'm to keep God's laws. What's the point, brethren? When those early Christians knew Leviticus 19:2, and they knew the rest of that chapter, they would have immediately thought, being holy as God is holy means that in all of these areas of my life, I'm to engage or not engage in what is discussed here. It makes me a more well-rounded person. Turn with me to the fourth place where this passage is found in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 26. By the way, we're in the section of the book of Leviticus where in the early part of the book, here is the way to God. But once we've gotten to God, with sin removed through our sacrifices, I have to walk with God. And so we're in this part of the book where we're daily walking and living right. And in chapter 20, it comes up again in verse 26, "And you shall be holy unto me, for I am Jehovah, am holy, and have set you apart from the peoples that you should be mine." If you go back to verse 22 and read the context, holiness is required because we're supposed to be separate from the world and we're supposed to belong to the Lord. This is why Peter says in 2 Peter 2, verse 9, that we are a people of God's own possession. And then in verses 11 and 12, we're sojourners and pilgrims, but we abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. We're to be different. We're to be set apart. Look at verse 22. "You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all mine ordinances and do them, that the land, whether I bring you to dwell therein, vomit you not out. And you shall not walk in the customs of the nation which I cast out from before you." Keep reading. You're going to be in a land, but don't be like the people around you. You're going to be in Clarksville today and tomorrow, but don't be like the people around you. Well, I just want to dress sort of the way young girls or young men dress today. Well, if those styles are worldly, I don't want that. I don't need that. Well, I want to talk like them and dress like them. You're going to be in a land, but do not walk in the customs of that nation. Holiness means that I come out and that I am separate from the Lord. And then look with me at the last place where this quotation is taken in Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 8, the very next chapter. Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 8. "Thou shalt sanctify him," talking about the priest, "for he offers the bread of thy God. He shall be holy unto thee, for I am Jehovah who sanctifies you am holy." The context here in verses 1 through 9 is that of the priest. He is a special person. He's to live a special way. He can only marry a certain person. And verse 9, "If the daughter profanes and acts like a harlot, she shall be burnt with fire." That's a very big deal there. Why? Because this man is supposed to be different. He is standing between the people and God. And brethren, in 1 Peter 2:5, all of us are priests today. We are a special people. That doesn't mean we're better than the rest of the world. That's not the point. But Peter says we're a holy nation, a spiritual house, offering up spiritual sacrifices to God. We belong to God. We're to be different because we are priests. We're to be held to a higher standard. That's why in verse 1, he was not allowed to defile himself. And he was to keep his hair a certain way. Verse 5, verse 7, whom he could marry. Why all of these special things? Because he's special and different. And in the New Testament, all of us are priests. And we're special and we're to be different. So just ignore the world. Not in the sense of not talking to them or going to them to try to save them. I'm talking about ignore their habits and their beliefs and their practices and be holy as I am holy. Well, when Peter quotes from the book of Leviticus, any one of those New Testament Christians who knew his or her Bible would have known the book of Leviticus. And they would have known that holiness means making a distinction between the clean and the unclean. They would have known that being holy is because God had brought them out of bondage. They would have known that holiness is in every aspect of my life. And it even controls how I interact with my parents and my neighbors and the poor and others. Even my attitude towards sin. They would have known that it meant to be separate from the world. They would have known that it had to do with priests who were special and different when they heard that quotation. When we hear it today, let us think the same thing. So this week, today, as we go out and we're going to say to ourselves, you know, I'm going to be holy as God is holy. It's achievable. It's required. It's something we must do. Let's take today's picture of holiness with us and be that way in every aspect of our life. Think it how it will change us. Think how it will change us and make us a better person and make us the person that we need to be. It's easy to have a picture of holiness that is very limited where we could, maybe holiness to me is three things and each day I check off those three things. But we've learned today that it's much broader, and so I'm going to work on all of these areas of my life if I need to do that. And if it begins this morning by you coming forward, being a child of God, we know from the book of Revelation at the end that there is no unclean and no unholy thing in heaven. And I just would hate for you to not be in heaven when Jesus comes. Your parents would just hate for you not to be in heaven when Jesus comes. You just need to become a Christian. You need to be baptized into Christ. That's the step. That's the first step. And then after that, I'm going to live this holy life that we've learned about today. Become a Christian. Those of us who have been baptized into Christ, let's live that holy life this week. And especially in Leviticus 19, if I've learned today that holiness is broader in other areas, I'm going to make a list of those things, post them on the refrigerator, and take a look at it on a regular basis. Am I doing these things? That's really what God wants me to be. Let's go out and do that this week. We're going to sing His Grace Reaches Me. And I can be in sin, but God's grace will reach down and save me in that. He gives us the provision to be saved from that sin. He's reaching out. Take His hand. Why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?